Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Off the ball, GAA.
They lied to us, telling us that we would have a pitch, and then they lied to us about saying that they'd line it out and to try and keep us there. They try to keep us there on the false pretenses, like, and you'd be very disappointed in that. Like.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening and welcome along to Tuesday Nights Off the Ball. We're on your radio until 10 o'clock this evening, and coming up we're going to be speaking to Richard Fitzpatrick, a journalist on the ground in Spain. He'll be talking to us all about Real Madrid and the day that was at the Bernabeu, because Florentino Perez calls this impromptu press conference. We all think it's going to be the announcement of Jose Mourinho, but no, it's actually to hit back at some reports that he is an old and weak and sick man, and he's hit back at his enemies in a proper golden cleric slash Donald Trump style speech. It was incredible stuff. We even through the medium of translating stuff online, we could tell how extraordinary this was. So we'll get the latest on that with Richard Fitzpatrick. It does look imminent that Jose Mourinho is going to be the next Real Madrid manager, by the way. I think he's going to wait until Benfica have their season complete. So we'll be chatting about what this next stage of Jose may actually look like. From 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Eamon McGee and Stephen Rochford for a more considered look at the weekend's Gaelic football action. Two provincial finals down, two to come. We have Tom English then between 9 and 10 on the football show. He'll be teeing up a gigantic week, really, in the Scottish Premiership, where it's going to be Celtic versus Hearts on Saturday. And all going well, I think it's fair to say that'll be a showdown for the Scottish Premiership title. For the first time in 40 years, there could be a winner outside of the Old Firm. Our number is 087 918 180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Arthur O'Dea is here beside me in studio. Arthur, how are you doing?
Flying.
And Dan Pitcher is here on Newsround duty. How are you getting on?
How are you?
So one of your big stories tonight, Dan, I suspect, will surround the Westmeath football team, because the Westmeath Independent reporting last night that former star John Heslin, who officially retired last year, trained with the team at the weekend. Now, it does remain to be seen if he'll be part of the official panel when it's confirmed later this week. So, I mean, we've all got very excited all day, because for my money, there is nothing more exciting than a mid-season big inter-county GAA comeback story. Nothing gets people chatting better than
the rumour. Especially ahead of a big final week as well against the Dubs. You know, they've had a really good, you know, sort of season so far, and, you know, everything's buzzing, and then all of a sudden, you know, burst through the door like the Undertaker out of a coffin.
Yes.
Kind of.
I prefer it the other way, just for what it's worth. I want to see a struggling team. Struggling team making a last ditch,
yeah,
someone coming back out of things. Like, oh, we're so back. but it's amazing. It's a, it's, because, you know, I suppose with GA, we don't have any, you're not really getting mid-season manager sackings.
No.
Kind of guys coming in off panels. You're not getting transfers. You're kind of, they're generally quite static from, I suppose, whatever, one part of 1 year to the next. So this is, it still feels quite new.
Kind of reminds me of when Stephen Cluxton was announced as part of the Dublin squad live. Actually, I think it was on Off the Ball, I think, wasn't it? From
Paddy Andrews,
from
I think.
Andrews. I was trying to think of who it was.
Well, that was it,
And, you know, have you seen who's in between the sticks there in Dublin there?
Yeah, that was that was one of those that was completely shrouded in secrecy until it actually happened. Mm. Like, for me, the Dermot Connolly saga of 2019 is the high watermark of all of this. And something I'd completely forgotten about until kind of looking back on it today is that one of the key kingmakers in Connolly back to the Dubs was Coolio.
Uh-huh.
You remember this?
No.
So Coolio was playing a gig at the Bulmers Live Festival in Leopardstown in the summer of 2019. And he was doing promo for this gig at Leopardstown. And he did an interview with Dublin Live, And he said, if I saw him, I'd say, Dermot, look, they want you to come back. I was going to do like a Coolio accent there, like momentarily. I was like, why am I sort of appearing that way? If I saw him, I'd say, Dermot, look, they want you to come back to the team, man. They need you. Dublin is counting on you. Come on back and do what you do. If not, he should try some American football. I'd like to see him do that either. I can imagine him with the Patriots. I'm sure Bill Belichick could teach him how to play. Maybe they'll let me and Dermot on the offensive line and we could try out a few plays. I'd love to try play Gaelic, but I'm way too old. I'd probably get broke up. So that's the late Coolio speaking back in 2019.
Wow. Then from Gangster's Paradise to influencing Dermot Connolly.
And then Dermot Connolly, who was, I'm not sure, was he away for a part of that summer, but he's certainly in a very sunny location and he posts a video of him in a car driving with Gangster's Paradise on, like acknowledging that he'd seen the video. And then the announcement of Dermot Connolly coming back was the most Jim Gavin announcement of all time. So you'll remember it was the first year of the Super Eights. It was Dublin against Cork in Croke Park in their first game. Second year of the Super Eights. And Jim Gavin talking afterwards saying, there are a lot of tired bodies. The guys will get as much recovery as they can. We all go back to work on Monday morning. We'll try to get a couple of sessions in this week. We had James McCarthy back in the pitch, Owen Merchant, Johnny Cooper, Dermot Connolly is back training with us, Robbie McDade is back, Darren Gavin is coming back as well. And there's a whole host of players who are returning to play. And everybody was like, wait, hold on a minute. What did he say?
Hold tight. Oh, man. That's the higher watermark. That's
and then
amazing.
He goes back and wins the All-Ireland. He wins the five in a row for Dublin. Yeah. So it was the perfect story, really, if you're of a Dublin persuasion.
Mm. I'd love to know, and hopefully the story comes out eventually, about what the exact details of this one with Heslin.
Yeah,
it's a strange thing. Like, obviously, he's not going to be an upsetting presence, but like, it's a strange. Depends how long he's been there, whatever it is. But like, to do something really different on the week building up to probably the biggest game, a lot of these guys. Under county careers.
To get your all-time leading scorer back as well, you know, the fit just seems right, doesn't it?
Yeah, Luke Loughlin missing the rest of the season.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe they thought it was more of a necessity. I did hear whispers of this before the last game.
Okay.
And it was on WhatsApp in some chat and it didn't materialise. And now it kind of has sort of materialised then this week. So we'll see if he's in the squad. But I think because Loughlin's out, you've got to throw him in and it makes Dublin think a little bit different about what they're actually going to do to kind of counteract that threat. But I guess it depends how well he's going. I remember when he retired at the start of last year that he said that work commitments had him all over the globe and it was going to be really difficult to commit. Gaelic football's got really good since that exact moment, so I'm sure he's been tempted to go back in when the time is right. And if you're from Westmeath, the time couldn't be better. And I'd say all the lads who've done all the hard work all year are kind of like, you make an exception for your top scorer. Yeah, like he's literally scored more for the county than Desi Dolan. He is, to all intents and purposes, a bit of a Westmead legend. So it's going to be really interesting. Really, really hope he plays. But the old GAA comeback, it's something to get the juices flowing in the middle of a championship. Our number is 0879-180-180. If you want to get in touch, the news round with Dan. Where are you kicking things off with?
Well, from that, we'll go to Manchester City, where their boss Pep Guardiola is expecting a tough test against Crystal Palace despite their upcoming cup final. City can move to within 2 points of Arsenal with victory as the Premier League title race heads into the final week. Guardiola says that his side must focus on their own performances and not results elsewhere. Rodri could return to the squad after injury ahead of the clash, but today Pep was clear in not expecting Palace to roll over for them.
They are so professional, the teams. Crystal Palace, we play top against that. We saw Leeds yesterday against the Spurs, how even being out of the relegation battle, so they are in Premier League again, how they compete. We play here against Aston Villa in the past, West Ham, you know, nothing to play, and it was how difficult it was, so I'm pretty sure they will do their best, knowing that, of course, they have the final 3 days later.
The Pep Guardiola future thing seems to have gone a bit quiet over the last few weeks. It almost quietened along with the idea that City might actually win this title.
Mm.
Does that have a bearing on what he's doing with his life this time next year?
I don't know. I mean, it's something that might spark up maybe after the season finishes. I think the fact, maybe perhaps around the time of the Arsenal game a couple of weeks ago, and you know, suddenly the talk was, is this Arsenal throwing away the title? Is this City back winning the league? I don't know. Maybe now that we're sort of winding down, and at least the red ribbons seem to be on the Premier League trophy at this stage, that maybe we might just see a little bit of that a bit more when the season finishes.
Do you think he's kind of prone to spontaneous decisions? To strike as that sort of person?
Well, how spontaneous was the sabbatical? And he just put the feet up in New York for a year. Like, that was probably premeditated.
Yeah. I definitely feel like we knew when he was in 2012, when he was leaving Barca, didn't we, that was it for a while. There was definitely, I think, from a distance out. Maybe I'm misremembering that. But
when he was leaving Bayern?
No, Barca the first time, but pre-sabbatical.
Okay.
Like, I think there was a bit, like, there was definitely, I think there was some notice on that. I don't know if it matters to him if he wins another league or not. And it's like, oh no, I need to go out on a high. He's kind of been there, done that with the leagues. Like, I guess...
I'd be up that way of thinking as well. Maybe it's one of those that he's just so in the game at this point that he just allows everything to decompress when the season's over, win the title or lose the title. And then the decision comes then. He probably has earned that right.
Possibly. But I always think with City as well, there's a little... It's not... for all that they've been so central to everything in the last 10, whatever years when he's there... is there a slight abstraction? It's like I don't think people live and die off what's happening off City day to day the way they do with other clubs. Even still, even though like he'd be a big loss, people, you know, he's massive, he's the biggest kind of character. But I just always kind of get that feeling. It's just kind of, oh, he's gone, is he? Okay. It's like, oh, they've signed Semenyo and Gehi. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's kind of what they do. And everything's kind of so well run. They're not really,
seem accustomed.
The 115 or whatever, notwithstanding, like they're not too, mired in chaos more often than not. Everything kind of seems like it's like part of a bigger structure. Everything's done with ease with everything else. So I don't know. Maybe if he did drop it, but I can see why people would kind of lose interest in it in the minute anyway.
Yeah. Where are you taking us next?
Well, you mentioned it at the start about the Real Madrid president, Florentino Perez, says he's got no intention of stepping down despite growing criticism following the club's disappointing season. Speaking at a surprise press conference in Madrid this afternoon, he confirmed that he'll be remaining in charge and announced a fresh presidential election. He's 79. The 79-year-old claimed that there had been campaigns aimed at damaging both his reputation and the club's interest. Obviously, as you mentioned, we'll be discussing more on that later on in the show.
Gavin's been in touch to say, I believe Coolio played a gig at some UK university and went back to one of the student gaffs for a party afterwards. Between that and helping the Dubs, a fine man. I think he was on the scene quite a lot.
I used to work in a certain Dublin hotel, but similar things of like parties there back at night. And yeah,
it's
character.
Yeah, and I think there's plenty of if you Google Coolio student house, as I'm doing here, one of the Irish Independent headlines is Coolio cooks meal at student house.
Yeah.
Coolio gave a group of students an unusual experience performing Gangster's Paradise and cooking peach crumble at their house. So there you go. That's sort of the...
Daniel Radcliffe appeared with the... Was it the Dublin Miners or the under-20s or whatever a couple of years ago?
Yeah, exactly. Where are you taking us next?
Well, the newest addition to the Ireland squad has been speaking today. Teenager Rory Finneran says that he's determined to impress the Ireland boss, Heimir Hallgrímsson, during this week's senior training camp in Spain. The 18-year-old Newcastle midfielder was a late call-up to the squad ahead of this Saturday's friendly with Grenada in Spain. He represented Ireland at the under-17s World Cup and says he hopes stronger performances in training can earn him a senior debut. The former Blackburn Rovers youngster became the club's youngest ever player before joining Newcastle last year.
Yeah, no, massively proud moment. Obviously, didn't really expect it. Got a late call in, but no, a massive achievement for me and looking forward to the week. I was on my day off, I was at home, so I didn't reply for a couple hours to the gaffer, but I got a message and then I spoke to him and obviously he said he wanted us to come in, so then I told my family and they were really happy and so was I.
Apparently this is potentially huge news for the Republic of Ireland, a really useful call-up. We were talking last week about Owen Elding. This is the latest in a long, long line of post-Declan Rice stories. And this one might be a very useful one to have on board for the future.
As long as he can cap them at competitive level.
Yes, good point. Good point, but you know, shut him around, show how healthy the environment is. And,
true.
Why
true.
Would they even
and
want to have
there's
wandering
also
heights.
Another two friendlies to come, Qatar and Canada to come. Three useful experiments for us to have a look at him.
Not one, not two, but three opportunities to show this guy why he needs to stick with us.
I always like the, in football, how quickly players will always refer to the gaffer. It's like, you know, the kind of, it's a term of endearment, I guess. But like, it's immediate. It's like, it's not even referring to him. He doesn't know him that long. He can't know him that long. He's only currently talked
to
him a handful of times. But it's like, oh, I was talking to the gaffer. It's like, before then, he was Hamer Halgrimson to you.
Well, see, I mean, like a dick move now would be to like turn that back on him and be like, what's the gaffer's name?
Yeah, no, I don't mean that. I just mean, I love how it's so quickly, every footballer will slip into that. You refer to him as the gaffer. It's like immediate. It doesn't matter how long they're there. It's like you don't have to earn it. You are it. It's interchangeable.
Yeah.
It's very good football language.
Speaking of Michael O'Neill, he's going to be the gaffer of either Northern Ireland or Blackburn?
Yes, well, he's rejected a long-term offer from Blackburn Rovers and will remain on with Northern Ireland. He steered Blackburn, of course, clear of relegation in the Championship. O'Neill committed his future to the IFA as Northern Ireland target qualification for Euro 2028. And interestingly enough as well, the 56-year-old will also work at the World Cup with FIFA's technical study group alongside Arsene Wenger.
That must be a great jolly.
Like, time.
That's got to be fun. How much work getting done?
Very little.
Arsene Wenger seemingly got a pretty good life, I would suggest, in his current relationship with football.
And I'm sure there are reports brought out from these studies, but like, they're never entering the mainstream. You know, it's only the mad stuff when you go on Be In or something and suggest, you know, get rid of corners or something, that it'll be something
about the next off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some mad stuff like that. But all in all, like, you're going pretty unchecked. Not just he's doing anything wrong. I mean, I'm sure he's very diligent, but it must be tidy.
Yeah, and if there were to be a big sort of moment for the future footballer rules or something like that, they'd be on hand.
Oh, yeah.
First responders to...
I'm watching the games.
You're moving on to injury news for Arsenal and for England.
Yeah, defender Ben White will miss the rest of the season with a serious knee ligament injury suffered against West Ham last Sunday. The England international also expected to miss the summer's World Cup. That's a big blow as well for Thomas Tuchel. White joins fellow fullbacks Jurrien Timber and Ricardo Calafiori on the sidelines ahead of Arsenal's crucial run-in.
You have some detail then on the Westmeath story.
Going back to that, yeah, obviously a big boost ahead of the Leinster final. We're talking about...
John Heslin,
yeah, he's put himself back in the running to face Dublin in the Leinster final at Croke Park, despite retiring last year after 150 appearances, making his surprise to the Lake County panel.
Yeah, so back in training. And one of the things we didn't mention earlier on is Stephen O'Neill, 2008, retires at the start of the year. And then in September, makes his comeback to the Tyrone squad after the players have a meeting and they vote unanimously to say, yeah, this guy can join us, and comes on as a substitute. They win the All-Ireland in 2008, so pretty much straight in there with Dermot Connolly as a dramatic return that leads to ultimate glory.
It's very satisfying.
That is proper full circle stuff. Are you moving on to the golf next?
Yes, Rory McIlroy has been making a strong case for match play events on the PGA Tour. He obviously begins his bid this week for a third PGA Championship title. The Northern Irishman arrives in confident mood after winning the Masters in April to claim his seventh major crown. Ahead of the tournament, he's backed calls for more match play events in golf, describing it as the purest form of the game. There have been suggestions the PGA Championship could switch to a match play format in the future. However, there were concerns over losing star players early in the event and the impact that could have on fans and broadcasters. Well, here was McIlroy's take.
Match play has been a big talking point, possibly talking about it for the Tour Championship at the end of the year going forward. Yeah, I think match play is the purest form of the game. I think it's a shame that we don't have any match play really in the schedule apart from the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup. And it would be nice to get some more match play in the schedule for sure.
Yeah, some other interesting bits as well in Rory's press conference talking about LIV. He was talking about the demise of it, possible demise of LIV, the PIF pulling out their funding from LIV at the end of this year. He said, it was always a possibility. I feel like a lot of us, including me, we almost knew before the LIV players did this that it was going to happen. I was hearing about this back in March, April time. He said, I have friends over there. One of my best friends, Ricky McCormack, caddies for Tom McKibben. I would talk to him all the time about what was going on. I was saying to Ricky, have you guys heard any of this stuff? He was like, no, everything seems to be okay over there. It just kind of feels like the rug was pulled from under their feet and everyone was sort of blindsided by it. That's the risk that those guys chose to take. There's a lot of uncertainty in the air right now. And then he said, I'm glad I was wrong. when he was talking about his position of wanting the PGA Tour to accept funding from Saudi Arabia. And then he talked about the geopolitical situation, and that if you have any funding tied so much to the geopolitical landscape in the world, that's a tricky road to navigate. Their priorities shifted, and that leaves Liv in a pretty precarious spot. It must be tempting to just do a complete victory lap on a story like this if you're in McIlroy's position.
Kind of, but like, I suppose it didn't it, like, it's kind of the influence, the change, I suppose, on the PGA as well, with the money they're earning, like, just through proxy. And now it's kind of like, I guess, I don't know what way that'll figure out, but like, clearly, I don't, just listening to different people, I suppose, who are clued in on it, like, but like, the revenues and golf don't seem to match the money that's now being made. Like, what are you paying them such huge amounts of money for if there isn't an alternative place to go and earn even greater amounts of money? So I wonder if it's kind of heading for a reckoning of its own with golf. Like, you're kind of not, it's kind of, how sustainable is it going to be to keep going at the rates as if Liv were still, as it is in existence, but the PIF influenced Liv were still in existence? Like, you can't keep that up forever, I guess. I don't know. But that's why I'd say with the victory lap, I'd say there's a degree of uncertainty even now. How will this affect us? Because it's bound to. Like, if it affected you when it was there, it's bound to affect you when it's not there.
Mm. And it's also still a watching brief of sorts. Like, it is still alive. It hasn't died just yet. You could hedge your bets now, and you could be pretty confident in taking your victory lap at this point. But and there's always a chance that another backer comes in and matches the PIF. Just never say never. We have a referee detail when it comes to the Champions Cup final.
Yeah, so Carl Dixon has been selected by EPCR to referee the Champions Cup final. It'll be the Englishman's first European decider when he stands between Leinster and Bordeaux on May 23rd. He'll have Christoph Ridley and Holly Davidson assisting him on the line. Meanwhile, Matthew Carley has been chosen to referee the Challenge Cup final between Ulster and Montpellier the night before in Bilbao.
On to Munster then.
Yeah, Munster have launched an independent governance and organisational review following controversy surrounding the failed appointment of Roger Randall. Randall had been due to join the province as attack coach before the move was cancelled after backlash over historic rape allegation, which he always had denied. The fallout led to several high-profile resignations within Munster and criticism from supporters. The review will examine the province's governance, leadership, culture and communication structures. Munster CEO Ian Flanagan says the process is aimed at strengthening decision-making and ensuring the overall well-being of the province moving forward.
Now then, what's the latest on LeBron James?
Yeah, so he admits that he's uncertain about his NBA future after the LA Lakers were knocked out of the playoffs by Oklahoma City. The 41-year-old says that he will discuss it with his family before deciding whether to retire or to continue playing. He's out of contract in the summer after completing his 23rd season with the NBA. The four-time NBA champion remains one of basketball's biggest stars, despite speculation that the end of his legacy career could now be close.
Yeah, they were swept by the Thunder 4-0 over the past couple of nights in the NBA. You have one more story for us. It's Sadiq Khan.
Yeah, it seems that even London's mayor wants Tottenham Hotspur to go down. Sadiq Khan says taxpayers could face a £2.5 million hit if West Ham are relegated from the Premier League. The Hammers sit in the bottom three with two games remaining, while fellow London club Tottenham are battling it out also to avoid the drop. Khan blamed the former mayor Boris Johnson for what he called the worst deal imaginable over West Ham's tenancy at the London Stadium. Under the agreement, West Ham must have to pay £4.4 million a year in rent. Well, we can hear now from London's mayor.
What I'd say to Londoners who don't support Spurs is you probably should be cheering on West Ham. The previous mayor, Boris Johnson, did the worst deal that can be imaginable as West Ham, as far as West Ham are concerned, is the deal of the century, where he basically gave them rent-free this amazing stadium for 100 years, this huge lease. Now, if West Ham are relegated, we, the taxpayers, we City Hall, could lose up to £2.5 million a year. So what I'd say to Londoners who don't support Spurs is you should probably be cheering on West Ham, because the taxpayer will lose out, West Ham go down.
It's absolutely hilarious.
I mean, it's sound logic.
Sound logic, yeah.
Your bottom line will be hit by that eventuality. Stipe Man on YouTube says Guardiola announced he was leaving in 2012 after losing to Chelsea in the semis. and losing the league to Real Madrid. It was a bombshell.
Okay, well, there you go. Maybe he is then prone to fits of pique. Another comeback, although I didn't quite fully appreciate it at the time, but like in hindsight, Brian Corcoran.
Yeah.
That one seemed to, I didn't realise then how good he'd been before. And then that, but you remember he scored that, remember he scored a point off his knees in that 04, I think it was. But yeah, that's up there.
What's the most likely comeback to happen? Like, give us, like, go pie in the sky here and give us, so say John Heslin is off the market now in terms of the most likely comeback.
Like, Fenton has to fancy a go at it. Maybe not. Like, it's hard to know. Like, I suppose with a lot of those guys, even we're talking about, maybe not Connolly, but like a lot of those other guys, like,
well, Fenton, Mannion, McCaffrey, early 30s guys.
Yeah, I wonder if it's strange. They've done everything. Like, they're part of the greatest team that's ever been.
Played intercounty football in the new rules.
No, but can you come back and exceed that?
They've never played under Gerard Brennan.
They've never played under Gerard. Maybe that
or Dean Rock.
Maybe that is the impetus. But
Dean Rock, player manager.
I suppose you risk not. You risk presenting a lesser version of yourself, don't you? It's kind of like I don't know if Westmeath, for instance, were teeing up now this weekend for a round two of the Tailteann Cup or whatever, that they'd be like, "Geez, John Heslin, I can't wait to get back out there." I'm not saying it's opportunistic. I'm just saying in terms of like, it's great. It must be amazing coming into a winning system and a really optimistic, forward-thinking system. So like from Dublin's point of view, like those boys, what would Dublin have to be doing for those boys to go like, oof, I want a little bit of that? Because for all the rules, like you're only, those guys are, they're winners. Like all they've done is won. You're not coming back for valiant All-Ireland semi-final exits. Like,
especially the way it's gone for Dublin. Like I remember in 2009, the Mike McCarthy comeback for Kerry was massive. It was middle of the season. Cork had got the better of Kerry and it looked like they were in a real state of crisis. And despite the fact that he'd retired like 2-3 years earlier, Jack put in the call, got him back in, and that was a bit of a momentum shifter amongst other things in that season. So you can't really fall too far back. You still need to be in contention for it to be of interest. Like going from favourites to like number two or number three, that's the perfect condition to come back in.
Yeah. Well, what about you? Who do you want to see back?
You know, like I'm trying to think who's in the punditry game, you know, who are, Seamus Flanagan is on off the ball every week.
Seamus Flanagan, and I was thinking about that, it's a strange thing with that, with Intercounty, isn't it? Like, he's been on breakfast loads, and he's great, a lovely fella. I'm just still thinking, like, I think he might be 30 at most. But it's that type of thing where it's like you're still kind of amongst the top whatever number of hurlers in the country. Like, you know, it's a smaller sport, everything else. Like, you're so talented and everything else. But it's that strange thing where it's just with, oh, you, because you were dropped from the panel, you don't get to play at that level anymore. It's not like you can go elsewhere. I'd say it's a hard old thing. And I can see then for the likes of Heslin or whatever, you're like, geez, playing a bit of club or whatever. It's like, this isn't the same thrill at all. It's like, I need a little bit more than this. Like, and it just must be very tough. But Flanagan, yeah, well, it looked, she's looked for all the world there like he might be getting a call before the Clare game, but I think they're probably all right still, aren't they?
We might leave that there, but let us know 087-9180-180. What is the best GAA comeback or the one you want to see the most?
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.